Well, the returning to the Greens deal with the government on changes to that pension assets test, the government's proposal would cut part pensions for 330,000 wealthy retirees and allow those on the full pension to own more assets before their benefits are affected. Richard Di Natale, in one of his first major decisions since taking over the leadership of the party last month, has agreed to support the government in getting those changes through the parliament. He joins us now in our Parliament House studios. Richard Di Natale, welcome to breakfast.
Morning.
Why did you decide to support these changes? What are you going to get out of this deal?
Well, I think the first thing to say is it was a decision of our party room. So it was a joint decision. I'm not somebody who's going to engage in captain's calls, but it was good policy. We didn't support the changes to the pension system that were introduced in 2007 by Howard. We thought they were a step in the wrong direction.
Making it too generous.
Well, it was a very unfair system. You had people at the low end of the scale who were struggling, and you have people with their family home and then on top of that assets of over $1 million who are entitled to a part pension while people at the low end of the scale were struggling. So we thought that was wrong back then, and we still think it's wrong. The easy thing for us would have been to take a partisan approach and oppose everything that the Abbott government does. We think the budget in general terms stinks, but this is one of the few areas where we think it's a step in the right direction. And then on top of that, we were able to secure a review into retirement incomes that puts superannuation back on the table. And on that issue, Labor is absolutely right. We have led the debate on both negative gearing and superannuation tax concessions. We think both of those issues need to be looked at. Any responsible government should be addressing both of those issues. And so we get that back on the table. And in that context, it's very difficult not to support it. And I was, frankly, very surprised that Labor took the decision that they did.
Well, come back to the superannuation, the retirement incomes discussion that you think is back on the table now. Just to stick with the decision from Labor as versus your decision to support the government on the changes to the pension assets test, Labor has putting forward a report with some numbers, some statistics done on this. Jenny Macklin says that these are not rich people who are going to be cut off under the changes, and she gives the example of a single pensioner who has around $500,000 in savings with an income from that of around $26,000. She says under these changes, they'll lose $8,000. So a single pensioner will lose $8,000 they would otherwise have been able to get from the pension, which means they're going to be living on less than the pension, aren't they?
Let's look at what the deal does, Fran. The changes to the pensions mean that people who have got assets of over $1 million who currently get a part pension, they may have a family home worth several million dollars, they have assets of over $1 million.
This is a couple we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're entitled to a part pension at the moment, and you've got people at the low end of the scale who are struggling. Why is it that we would deny those people a $30 a fortnight on average increase? And that's what this does. It gives people at the low end of the scale a $30 a fortnight increase, and people at the top end, some of them will be disadvantaged. But it is, we've just got to decide what sort of society do we want. Do we want a society where we continue to favour those people on higher incomes at the expense of people on lower incomes?
I agree. So what about that example, though, that Jenny Macklin gives? Someone will be living, a single pensioner who has $500,000 worth of savings will be earning an income of that at 3% of around $26,000. That's not much. They're not rich people. Is the answer to that they should spend some of those savings?
At some point, you have to draw the line, and obviously we make
you have to draw down on your savings.
Couples. At some point, we make a distinction between couples and people who are on their own, and that's the way the system's currently devised. But on balance, this is a measure that absolutely favours people who are at the lower end of the scale. It does that. There's no denying that the great majority of people who are at the lower end of a scale will benefit by a $30 on average a fortnight increase. And that's a good thing. And if it does mean that some of those unfair changes that were introduced by John Howard back in 2007 are rolled back. Well, again, I think that's a good thing. And I'm surprised that Labor would be defending, you know, the Howard legacy of 07 when they were handing around cash in the lead up to an election. It was bad policy then, and that's why we didn't support it then. And it's bad policy now. And when you then...
Well, Labor says that the way to make sure those people at the lower end still get the $30 is for the government to change the tax treatment of wealthy people with and their superannuation. They reckon they can get $14 billion in savings over 10 years from excessive super tax concessions.
And they're absolutely right. And that's why the Greens have got a costed policy that would bring in many billions of dollars over the Ford estimates to address the issue of superannuation tax concessions. But why is it a choice? Why can't we do both? And we should be doing both. We should be making the pension system fairer, and we should be putting superannuation tax concessions on the table. And that's the problem with this partisan debate we've got at the moment, where both sides are locked into this sort of spiral downwards where the cost of it is good public policy. So we've got to take some of the partisanship out of it. We have secured now, as part of the retirement income review, and thanks to the good work of Senator Rachel Seward on this, that means that we are going to have a future government, and that might be within a year, who has a blueprint for how to reform super, whether it may even be a change of prime minister under the current government, who takes a more responsible approach on the issue of superannuation. And we will now have a blueprint where we can address that issue and take on that big inequity that exists, where superannuation's become this vehicle for people on high incomes to minimise their tax. That's not good public policy either.
Okay, so that's what you've won, this discussion to be included in the tax white paper, where it hadn't been, this whole notion of retirement incomes. Labor says you've been had on that, though, because the government keeps saying that it has no plan to change anything. Let's hear what the Social Services Minister, Scott Morrison, said on this on 7:30 last night.
But the government has made it crystal clear that our policy, when it relates to superannuation and particularly taxation and the flexibility of people's arrangements, is unchanged. We won't be making any changes adverse to those arrangements in this term, and we have no plans to do that beyond the next election.
We won't be making any changes to the tax treatment of superannuation. That seems to be the government's bottom line. Have you been had?
No, because the agreement was never to get the government to change their policy on it, because they were never going to do it. And that was an irresponsible decision by them. But what we do through the review, led by groups like the Council for the Ageing, and supported by a number of groups like ACOS and Uniting Care and so on, we get a blueprint for how to reform superannuation tax concession. Now, I hope this government is not the government after the next election. And indeed, there may be a change of Prime Minister during this term. We have then a blueprint ready to act on, so that we do start to address that great inequity that exists in superannuation. But we shouldn't be saying, well, unless we get that, then we're not going to make the pension system fairer. We're going to defend the Howard government changes. We think that's just, it's bad policy. And both sides need to accept that we can do those things together. We've got to get beyond this highly partisan, highly divisive political environment we've got at the moment, and we've got to start putting decent public policy first and the partisanship second.
It's 10 minutes to 8. Our guest is the Greens leader, Senator Richard Di Natale. Richard Di Natale, is this the first step of you leading the Greens back into the game? Because for quite a while now, the Greens really weren't part of the negotiations. Their opposition to much of the government stood for and government policy meant the government was forced to deal either with Labor or the crossbenchers. Is this a signal to the government, don't worry about those, you know, those unpredictable senators, come to us?
Well, no, it's not. There wasn't anything in that last budget that was vaguely worth supporting. It was a terrible budget, and we did the responsible thing in ensuring that those changes didn't see the light of day. And in this budget, we're not going to make it harder for young kids to get income support, for example. We're not going to support the government on the family tax benefit changes that mean we take money away from single parents in order to fund what are some positive childcare reforms.
Will you support the government on petrol excise?
We're talking to the government. But as we've said before, unless you're going to reintroduce indexation of petrol as part of a process of transforming the economy so that we have more public transport options and so that we also address some of those regressive impacts, then we won't support it. So we're talking to the government about that. If they're prepared to ensure that those things happen, then there's the prospect of progress on that. But as yet, we're not there, and it's really in the government's court.
Can I just ask you very briefly, we're running out of time because we've got the Libyan ambassador to the UN coming up after you, but just very briefly, do the Greens think that there is a different order of activity or policy if Australian officials are paying people smugglers carrying people on water than if they're paying people for information to disrupt people smuggling activities on land?
I think the things are different, but it doesn't excuse either of them. I think one's of a bigger scale, but and more significant, but it doesn't excuse either of them. And as I said yesterday, this toxic debate around refugees and asylum seekers is demeaning us as a people. We need a circuit breaker of some sort. Both sides of politics are failing us on this issue. There are some simple things that we could do to improve the situation. It is a diabolical public policy area, but we should be working with the UNHCR. We should be providing people with safer pathways.
Okay.
There are things that we can do to improve a terrible situation.
Richard Di Natale, thank you.
A pleasure, Fran.
Richard Di Natale is the Greens leader. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 7 minutes to 8.